This is A View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 23rd of November, 2021. My name's Patrick Smith. A solid demolition of the Manchester Storm over two nights, with witnessed 13 goals from the Giants and only four conceded, giving us the maximum 4 points from the games at the SSE Arena. On this week's show, we're going to talk about the Manchester games and all the events of the weekend. Simon's popped down to training for a chat with a few of the lads. We're not having a fan agenda this week, so we've just thrown the questions out to you guys and we're going to have a bit of a chat. Joel's going to have a dig into the Elite League news. And this weekend, we face the Dundee Stars.
Yeah! Let's go!
Yeah,
let's
the Dundee go! Stars. And Cardiff. And Cardiff. We'll quickly chat about those. Mr. McGimsey, how are you?
Good evening, Paddy. I'm not too bad, mate.
You cool?
Mate, my boiler's busted. I might as well be doing this podcast from centre ice. It's that cool.
You're going to Super Sir or something like that? Do you know what I mean?
Mate, I used to have a Super Sir and nearly killed myself with it.
Did you?
I near gassed myself out. It was in a wee room and I started to get sore heads and all and started to get really tired all the time. It turned out I was gassing myself.
So, I've not seen one since I was a kid, mate. I have to tell you.
I had a Super Sir not that long ago in the office and worked. Dangerous air units they are. My granny used to have one. My wee granny's no longer with us. She used to have one that she had to keep a fork in. There's three buttons on it. One for each.
And then one to light it as well.
Used to have to then jam a fork into it. Can't have been safe, but yeah, God love her.
But the price of gas these days, it's not going to be cheap.
You know what I mean? Three bar and a Super Sir, you could cook your Christmas dinner on it. That's what heat was heat.
used to stand in front of it, Joel, until your legs were burnt, and until you were nice and warm, and then Granny would have came over and grabbed the front of your jeans, pulled them so it burnt your skin. Like, why are you doing that? When you look back, you're like, why are you doing that, Granny? That's good.
Good to know that happened to you as well as it happened to me. So there we go. Come to Sis, did you have a Super Sir?
That's a great start to this show.
I had three brothers and two sisters. We just hugged.
Fair enough.
That's all fine. There's no problem.
How you doing after the weekend?
I'm not older.
All a single bed.
I remember getting bath in front of the fire on a Sunday night, for God's sake, in a big metal tub. So, as you do.
How you doing after the weekend, buddy?
I was exhausted. The only thing I miss COVID positive nonsense is just knocked me for six regarding my sleeping pattern and my just the tiredness. It's I just can't get over it at the minute. It'll probably take an hour while to get over the just getting back to the way I love my sleep, like. But I've just having to take I feel like a professional hockey player again. I'm having to take a nap in the afternoon, just to feel
again. Human,
but I'm starting to feel a bit better now.
Good to hear. I'm having a think here. I don't know whether we have to explain what a Super Sir is to Joel.
Here, I grew up in Larne, mate, and I'm not actually as young as I let on. I remember Super Sir as well.
How you doing? A lot of bare walls behind you. If you're watching YouTube, a lot of bare walls. Looks like Joel and Danny are on the way out. Way off Queen's Island.
There's an angry Danny on the other side of that door wondering why I'm sitting here talking to you boys and not packing my kitchen into boxes. But I'm happy for an hour or two's reprieve from all that. Move at the end of this week.
And then once this is done, you can just sit there and talk to yourself and make it sound like you're still recording. Brilliant.
Nobody else listens anyway.
You can have that one for free.
Thanks, mate. Thanks.
Right, let's get stuck in, boys. We've got two games against the Manchester Storm at the SSE Arena this past weekend. As we normally do with a double header, I'll give you all the stats across all the game stats across the weekend, and we'll chat about the games. Let's start on Saturday. 4,197 people attended the game as the Belfast Giants ran out 7-2 victors over the Storm. The first goal came from Tyson Fawcett, actually, in the second minute before Ben Lake. And welcome back to Ben Lake, because what a weekend that lad had. Ben Lake made it 1-1. And then with a shorthand goal, Darcy Murphy made it 2-1.
It's a 2-1 game. We're playing great.
Absolutely. Nice. 3-1 from JJ Piknich. David Goodwin made it 4-1. Then it went to Jared Van Wormer, made it 4-2. Darcy Murphy, 5-2. David Goodwin, 6-2. And Kieran Long rounded off the score, and it's 7-2 for the Giants. James Downey in goal, the young British lad we spoke about last week. 45 shots on, 7 against. Tyler Beskrowani for the Giants, 24 shots on. 2 goals against. Hoagie and Daltz for the weekend. For the whole weekend were your referees. And on Sunday, we beat them 6-2. just, you know, one less. Yeah, just took modest. It easy on the Sunday. Once again, it was the Storm that struck first on the power play. Taylor Thompson making it 1-0 to them. Lewis Hook made it 1-1. And then Mark Cooper.
It's a 2-1 game. We're playing great.
Made it 2-1. Scott Conway, 3-1 on the power play. Cam Knight, 4-1 on the power play. Lewis Hook, 5-1. David Goodwin, 6-1. And then a bit of a consolation goal that I actually want to talk about later in the show to Adam Brady to make it 6-2. In goal for the Manchester Storm was Jason, says?
Bakashua.
Jason Bakashua. 38 shots on, 6 against. Jackson Whistle in goal for the Giants. 33 shots on, 2 against. And as I said, Hoagie and Daltz were your referees for the whole weekend. Right, Saturday. Davey, we went 1 down, but it was a solid comeback and a solid victory.
Yeah, I think that probably the only blip of the night was that Tyler Bescarwani just trying to paddle it away into the corner. I think he's maybe... Pucks came through the defender, D-man's legs maybe, and he's just tried to flick it up in the net and just slightly miscued. And it was lucky that we had like 59 and a half minutes to come back in the game. So nothing too much to worry about. I really liked our attitude on Saturday night. We didn't quit on any plays. We got down low. We got dirty in front of net right across the weekend, actually. For once, we really went hard to that blue paint. And even, I don't know whether you're going to play the goals or not, Paddy, if you're watching YouTube. That first goal comes from Laker dropping a pass to Goody, and Goody just throwing it across the blue paint, throw it up net, good things happen. You know, it's cliche and all, and Laker's there to slap home the loose puck. But then, of course, the one that we want to probably talk about, the shorthanded effort from Darcy Murphy. And brilliant to be able to hear says with it. Don't think he gave a come on wee man, but he may as well have, because we've all been busting for him to get that breakout goal. And it allowed him, and that second goal he scored in the game, If he hadn't got that first goal, I don't think he releases at the top of the circle. He probably goes in and maybe tries to make a move or go. That quick release actually scored so many goals in his 50-goal season. Getting in front of the net and getting that puck away quick. And he got that goal. Really, really, really nice finish. So really pleased to see Darcy getting a few goals. What we did really well on the power play, I guess, especially on the Sunday night game, Cooper just reversed in front of goal. And he's massive. He has that tilt with Springer, which we'll probably talk about as well, which seemed to energise him a little bit over the weekend. He remembered all of a sudden he's 6 foot plus 200 pounds, and he reversed in on top of a goalie. Tell us his name there again. Sorry, Jason.
Bakashua.
Sunday night, the power play goals were Cooper just went in, parked himself on the top of a blue paint, just didn't give a goalie anything to see, and he's searching for it. Pucks behind him before he got a chance. I thought we went really well against the young British kid who played a decent enough game, but I think he was shown, as some of his weaknesses were shown, that we just kept on going and going. Pretty much a 60-minute performance for me. I really liked how we played on Saturday night. On Sunday.
Yeah, I think on Saturday night, there was an odd moment, in both nights, I don't know about it, but there was a fight between Coops and Lyndon Springer that sort of just energised the building.
Fighting always does, Paddy. I mean, at first, Joel and I were there, obviously, and, you know, as soon as the gloves are dropped, 95 to 99% of the crowd are up on their feet. You know, it wasn't the best scrap in the world, but it was just good to see Mark Cooper, you know, standing up and being counted. And, you know, we've sort of been calling out for that all season. It's been we've said about the team toughness. Adam has addressed it in the last week or so, and told the guys, you know, I think maybe sometimes you're afraid to take a penalty. You know, you don't want to let the guys down. You don't want to give the team that you're playing against the advantage and take a stupid penalty. But sometimes you just need to go, you know what, screw this. You're getting a couple of punches in the head here, and that's the end of it. So. But it was good to see it, and I think you're right. You know, we were getting that early goal against on Saturday, and obviously on Sunday as well. But, you know, getting the early goal against on Saturday by Fawcett sort of just woke us up. I thought we absolutely dominated after that. Yeah, they got their second goal, but, you know, the only thing that would have been a real positive on Saturday would have been a power play goal or two. You know, I think Davey said that he sent me a text the other day. I think he said we had 4 shots on 3 penalties, 3 power plays on Saturday. And that seemed to kick in on Sunday. We listened to JJ last weekend saying sometimes you can get too many penalties and it knocks everything off kilter. And then on Sunday, it was the other way around. We ended up getting, I think it was 3 from 6 or 3 from 7 on Sunday, did we? So, you know, it was good to get, over the weekend, it was good to get a couple of power play goals. But overall, I just thought the energy that the boys had, I thought that the forechecking was very, very good. Manchester cannot handle our speed on the big ice. That's it. And it's going to be difficult for a lot of teams this year on big ice. We've got a lot of speed, and we're talking about from right from the back end and on an all forward line. So, you know, I'm not worried about that aspect moving forward. It was good to see, as I say, all three lines or four lines chipping in, you know, over the weekend. Hookie got a couple of goals. Longer got a goal. You touched on it at the start of the when you were talking about, Paddy, about Ben Lake. I've been saying about Ben Lake since he joined the Belfast Giants a couple of years ago. I think he's absolute quality. He just never, never stops. He doesn't take a shift off. But on top of that, you know, the line of Conway, Pickenich, and Murphy on Saturday was excellent. The line of Cooper, Lake, and Goodwin was really, really good all weekend. I don't know how many. I mean, I know Goody got 6 points. Baker got 5. I think it was maybe 4. Cooper got 5. So really positive weekend. And, you know, just overall a really good, 2 good performances. And something, as I say, that Manchester just could not deal with us.
Joel, let's just, his name's been mentioned there. Let's just talk about this man.
Darcy Murphy! Come on, wee man!
2 goals on Saturday for Darcy Murphy, obviously opening his account for the season. And you can see from his face after that first one, it was such a relief.
One of those, like if you fast forward to the start of next season and the genius that is Neil Whiteside plays his intro video, that goal celebration will be part of it. That release of emotion, not only from Darcy, the thunder in that arena when that goal hit the net and people realized it was number 15, the sort of unified release of emotion from all around that arena was just absolutely brilliant. One of my highlights of the season so far. Not only Darcy's first goal, but to go in the manner that he did and get it shorthanded, just an absolutely fantastic moment. I'm delighted for him. You know, Simon would chat to Darcy most out of all of us, and you know, has been kind of keeping us up to date with the fact that, you know, he was struggling with injury, and he was kind of feeling that he was up against it. He was trying, and you can't fault Darcy's work ethic. I mean, he was playing probably not at 100% for a couple of weeks back there, and he's been grinding. Listen, away.
Sorry for interrupting, Joel.
Not at all.
I think it's okay to say now because he's over it. He had a broken bone in his foot, mm-hmm. You know, and the big thing about it is, you know, he still wanted to play. He broke his bone on the Friday, practice before the Nottingham weekend. And he wanted to play. He got Taft to make a mold for the skate on the Friday night to try and get it back on again to play, because he was just starting to click. And, you know, we've all talked about it before, but he's always been a slow starter. But he wanted to play, and even he came. For me, he came back too early, and you could see that he was struggling with regards to, you know, pushing off with his right. I think it was his right foot, and trying to get that power, because that's, you know, over the first 10, 15 yards, he's one of the quickest guys in the league, and he, you know, that's where he gets his power from. Those first 15, 20 yards, that's where he's pushing on. But you know, having a broken bone in your foot, you need your feet playing ice hockey. You need to basically have the power coming off it, and he just didn't have it. So, but sorry for interrupting.
No, not at all. It's a valid point. And you know, you talk about over the past few weeks, a lot of people have been saying, you know, there isn't really this team identity yet. There isn't the toughness. There isn't the Adam Keefe brand of Belfast Giants that we're so used to. You're maybe not seeing it. You know, boys are week in, week out playing dinged. I mean, I just think that it's a prerequisite of a hockey player that you're almost always carrying something. The fact that Darcy Murphy wanted to pull that jersey on and go out there and go and get that goal, especially when the team wasn't entirely firing on all cylinders, says it all for me. And Adam Keefe hockey, team toughness, the type of team that we've got used to watching, is what this Belfast Giants were over the weekend. You know, you can talk about the Storm not being great. Let's be honest, boys, that team has not got a defense. They were hung out to dry by their D all weekend. I think those two goaltender performances were actually really good. I think Young Downey is a fantastic shot stopper. You know, there was a lot of talk about him being a future Team GB starter when he's a bit older, has a bit more experience. I think once he begins to kind of control the puck and once he doesn't cough up as many rebounds as he currently does, that comes with experience and with minutes. But I can see it. The talent in that kid was unbelievable. And I felt for him and I felt for Bokashi as well, because they were just hung out to dry by just, but the Giants were playing that puck deep. And we did pretty much all of those goals over the weekend came from net front presence, from us working our way in, putting shots on the goaltender and being able to pounce on those loose pucks. It happened over and over and over again. The lines continue to click for me as well. I noticed as well those kinds of no-look passes whenever line mates know where line mates are going to be. We saw it away in Nottingham during that 5-0 shutout win when Tyler Soy set up a couple. This team is gelling. I think that Manchester were massively exposed on the big ice. But still, you can only play what's in front of you. We had the Manchester Storm twice. We've been beaten by them this season. It has stuck in my throat since. And what we got was probably the two most complete performances of the season so far.
Certainly stuck in my throat, and I was glad to see it at the weekend. I fully agree with you. I put a tweet out the other day basically saying that, you know, you could see how exposed they were on that big ice, how in their own rink they can put, you can do a five-man defense and put bodies in the way, put sticks in the way, spoil everything and catch on the break. When it comes to the big ice, they were struggling. Davey, let me bring you back just to what we were saying there about Cooper and Lyndon Springer in the fight. What do you think spurred that on?
Just before I come back to that, because I didn't really get to have a take on the Ben Lake chat just we're having. Ben Lake, for me, is doing different, bringing different things all at different times. Like the Darcy Murphy, no, it's not the Darcy Murphy shorthanded goal, because it was Lake that took the penalty. Well, no, it was Lake.
It was Lake that broke down the right
side. Lake identifies that it's a D-man on a forward. I think he might have even mentioned it in commentary. He says, I think it's Hammer and... was it Earhart perhaps?
Who I think was injured all weekend, by the way, because he was not at the races.
Absent.
And for those watching on YouTube, when Ben Lake is going up centre ice, to open up the space for Darcy, and then drops that little backhand pass to let Darcy go in one-on-one. And he finishes superbly high. There was one I text says, I can't remember now whether it was Saturday or Sunday, somebody takes a run at Lake at the blue line and Lake just blew him up. Lake just let him come, bang, and literally blew him up. So he's got toughness, he's got speed, he's got good hands, and he'll go to the blue paint and he's done really well. But onto the Cooper fight especially, Springer really wanted it. Mm-hmm. Because he needed to do something to get the Manchester Storm into this game. And Cooper was like, a lot of guys have been this season. No, it's probably not the right time. And it probably wasn't the right time for the Giants because we were 3-1 up maybe at the time or something. And he says no. And then the referees started kind of getting involved and linos are going, oh, if you do this, you're going to get this. And Cooper sort of, because the camera zooms in brilliantly, and Cooper actually puts his stick down and looks at Springer and just gives him a big smile and goes, and then the camera zooms out, and then as soon as it's dropped, they go. And it was one of those, and I think he made a reference that even in the interview with you or whoever he was talking to afterwards, that it was kind of like that. He had said no, and then he kind of changed his mind and thought, why not? And as he said, the noise in the arena, he couldn't hear. Simon will tell you what it's like when you're in a fur dig. You don't hear what's going on around you. And as soon as that, you just hear the thuds. And as soon as they both hit the ice, he says the roar was incredible. And I think it was Coach maybe in our little WhatsApp group. It's not about winning fights sometimes, it's just about showing up. And what Cooper did there for his own confidence, and I talked about earlier when I was talking about it, I thought he grew into the two games where he went and stood in front of the goalie where he hasn't particularly been. He got his goal from in the blue paint. He got us goals by going to the blue paint. And Slater Doggett, I guess, on Sunday night, maybe dropped down to like a fourth line presence with Tyler Soy because of the work that Hookie and Longer had done on Saturday night. And you talked about forecheck, Simon. Oh, that was a motorbike, says.
That's behind me, sorry. Windows open tonight, my boiler's not broke, mate. Sorry to rub it in.
Talk about the ozone pressure that we had, and the guys going so hard on the forecheck and allowing D-men to change up and come in to just keep the pressure. Manchester couldn't get out. We did that really well. And that sort of meant that Slater, Doggett and Soy were the fourth guys with yep. somebody jumping in with them on Sunday night. And Slater Doggett, and I think Dicko even said it in commentary as well, he hasn't contributed as much as he wants to. And that was his way of getting himself into the game as well, because maybe the numbers haven't been there as much as he would maybe have been expecting. So I'm hoping for good things from him as well, because I see stuff in him that I really like. And I just hope that, look, we've got that line of says named him, you know, of Conway, Pickenitz, and Darcy did really well. Cooper, who was with him? Cooper, Laker, and Goody. And then you've got Longer and Hookie coming up with points. Bush was with them. Bush, there's one goal, Simon. The pass that Bush makes is just
off the charts. It's one of
it's like, and here, just before I go on, then the Hookie's second goal, the tip in from Roop, shoots from the blue line. Captain Crosscheck, Kieran Long has it. I think it's number 7. Is that Zach Sullivan? Says
no, it's Thompson.
Tom, oh, yeah. They're hacking and whacking each other. Cross check. Just going on. There was a couple of times over the weekend the referees could have called penalties and they let things kind of go. The hit where Rippers hit your man at the halfway line, and they're all sort of what's happening in front of the bench, and Rayner has spun.
Center ice, Davey. It's not halfway line, center ice. Just let you know.
Center ice. It is the halfway line, Simon. It's right halfway on. Between the ends of the ice. And then Kevin Rayne springs JJ Pickenitz. The referees could have blown that down. And the one for Lewis Hook's second one, Longer cross-checking, the two of them get involved. And Longer pulls and opens that lane up for Hookie to skate across on the ribs pass. So, like, I text you on the night. That's one of those ones where a player doesn't get an assist, where the player that dumps it in from 70 yards gets the second assist. And for me, you know, all the hard work done by Kieran Long. So Longer, Hookie doing really well. And their ice time's being rewarded accordingly. You know, they're getting goals. They're getting longer looks on the ice. So more shifts, longer ice time. So things are looking really well. I hope Doggett and Soy can come to the party, because those top nine now are sort of solidifying themselves as the top nine.
Apologies to anybody watching on YouTube. The videos aren't really processing on my computer today, so I don't know why it's not running. It says, just coming back to one of the points that Davey made there, especially regarding, I know I don't want to focus around the fights, because obviously there was the fight that was on Saturday, and then you had Ben Wilson, Slater Doggett. That seemed to come out of nowhere. I don't know, just all of a sudden they're squaring up at centre ice. But one thing, and I take Davey's point on this, and coming back to what Coach said, it doesn't... That did absolutely, like, you look at the amount of people have been shouting about that we don't have a physical edge, that we don't show any fight, that we don't, when we're challenged, we always back down. We need to turn that narrative, and that is the starting of the turning of the narrative.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. And look, again, little things like that can galvanize a team. You know, I was watching a practice like this morning for the boys. Really, really, you know, it was the boys are flying today. Adam's been trying to, he's been, because the, you know, when you play well, you get rewarded. So, you know, when the two wins the weekend, they got a day off yesterday, and there's an optional skate tomorrow. You know, so, you know, he's given them that time off because it's all about the trust, and the boys are coming back with that trust and going, right, okay, well, we're here to turn up, we're here to play. And, you know, I'm watching all the positive comments coming across the bottom of the screen there now, and if you're watching on YouTube, and look, again, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news. Okay, we're 4 on the trot with 2 good performances this weekend. But it's done. It's in the past now. You know, we need to basically keep that form going. We played really well. Davey was at the game in Cardiff a few weeks ago. We played really well and lost in Cardiff a few weeks ago. But this game on Saturday is going to be massive. And we're going to go on to talk about it. But it's imperative that we try and build on what we've done in the last couple of weekends. You know, Manchester, as I say, there's a few other guys that Earhart, he just hasn't got the legs anymore. It's the same as the big man, McNulty. You know, he's 6'6" pillow. I was really surprised at him. I couldn't believe he didn't throw a hit the weekend. You know, and when you've got a guy that's 6'6" and you're, you know, for argument's sake, you're the likes of Lewis Hook, you're okay, 6'1", 6'2", whatever it may be. You're sitting thinking, that guy's coming in behind me here. I've got to, you know, make sure I'm preparing myself. There's nothing to prepare about because he didn't throw a hit. Let's hope that he doesn't throw a hit in the rest of the season. But, you know, Ryan Finnerty, in his interview after the game, he was very disappointed with his team on Saturday night. He just didn't think they turned up. And on Sunday, you could see that he obviously gave him a bit of a rollicking on Saturday night, because I thought they played really well for the first 27 minutes. And once we got a couple of goals, we just took off. We got three power play goals on the trot. Obviously Lyndon Springer took that stupid penalty.
I was just about to bring that up, because for me that was more or less the comedy moment of the entire weekend. He said, you come in 4 minutes into the third period, they're doing their best to try to get into the game, and then he does in the ozone for him as well, in front of the chance, the most ridiculous holding penalty, where he more or less grabs a guy, wrestles him, and then looks around and surprised that he's been called for a penalty. Giants go on the power play, Cam Knight sticks in the back of the net, and then we score two more. But for me, like, the actions of Springer, we talked about how he wanted that fight on Saturday, but his actions on Sunday in the third period, beggar belief.
I commented on it during the game. I thought he was doing all right on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. He's played, I looked at the end stats, I think he played 32 minutes on Sunday.
I'll tell you now.
What's his plus minus? Does anybody know?
Believe it or not, the plus minus is according to the in stat night. You can take into consideration we got three power play goals, but the worst in Manchester Storm is -1. I did notice that on Sunday.
Yeah, because
of three power play goals. I think again they had a power play goal as well. But look, overall, as I say, we played well at the weekend. But let's not get carried away. It's a Manchester Storm in a big rink. They just couldn't handle our speed. We were the way we played the game, the way we went about going about. The only thing that I was a wee bit disappointed was with conceding that second goal on Sunday. That shouldn't have happened. And to be honest,
how much was that down to just the referee let it go? Because the puck was long gone.
It was a penalty all day long. It looked like he sort of just, I wouldn't say slew foot, but he definitely took the legs from under Sam Ruop. And the referee
borderline clipping, something like that.
It was a penalty for me. It was a penalty all day long.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of an appropriate penalty to call, but.
Ultimately, though, Davey, I just come back to you in this as well. Ultimately, for that goal, the referees just let it go. They score a consolation second goal. Like, it didn't mean anything really in the whole grand scheme of the game, but for Jackson Whistle, it does.
Yeah,
I think had there'd been maybe more skin in the game, it might have been called. No players even really. Rube himself didn't even really complain too much because, you're 6-2, 7-2, whatever it was up at the time, 7-1 up, 6-1.
6-1, got there in the end.
In no circumstances, to be honest, Big Sam should have stood up, grabbed your man and punched the face of him.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But then you've got the last 5 minutes of game and that instigator.
I think it was more than that left, did we?
No, there's freaking seconds left, surely.
Are you sure?
No.
The final goal key, final goal on Sunday.
Oh, there's a minute there. You're right. A minute and a half.
So fighting in the last 5 minutes of game, especially if you were considered instigators, an automatic one-match suspension.
All right, hit him a dig in the head and get 2 minute penalty for it. It's well worth it.
You take someone in the head, you'd probably get called 5+ game and then
keep your glove on, hit him a dig in the head.
Doesn't matter.
2 minutes rough and call.
So I'm gonna wrap this up in just a second. I'm gonna run around. Just want to ask you who your player of the weekend was, Mr. Neil.
The Mark Cooper Show. This weekend was the Mark Cooper Show. He was a goal away from a Gordie Howe on Saturday, two helpers, and then he got his goal on Sunday. He killed a penalty. He killed a 5-on-3 with no stick for most of it. Was throwing his body down, wasn't afraid to go make contact at the boards, wasn't afraid to drop a knee in the path of pucks. I think he was the ignition for that Belfast Giants team this weekend. I do agree with Simon that we need to temper our expectations here. Not too high with the highs, not too low with the lows. It's a long season. But if we were to come into this weekend with a checklist of things that we wanted to see, more team toughness, more going to the blue paint, finishing those rebounds and not being afraid to stick up for ourselves, all of the boxes were checked. But for me, Mark Cooper.
Says
Mark Garside.
Ooh, nice.
I thought he was brilliant all weekend. All weekend. And the way he's coming, and bringing along Jeff Baum. Jeff Baum's a relatively young kid playing first-year pro You know, the way Gary's very, very underrated. You know, to be honest, just I hadn't really thought about it, Paddy, until you'd mentioned it there. I was going to say Ben Lake because I thought Lake had a great weekend, but the way Gary just goes about his business, just gets on with everything. You know, it's there's nothing flash in the pan for him. It's if you watch some of his outlet passes, you know, when there was the big, I can't remember the lad's name. He came in to hit him against the wall. Gary just seen him coming in over his right shoulder. And he's seen, you know, whatever, he's seen him as he's getting into the wall. He's looking over both shoulders. He's watching one of our guys come from the left, a Storm player coming in from the right. And he just knocked the puck between his legs, taking it straight up a wall. You know, he's just a really, really common influence. And I thought he was excellent all weekend.
David.
I had that chat with Sez. Was it Saturday night we talked about Gary?
Yeah.
I sent you a text message going, my man of match. He's now, for all the size of him, because he's built like a... he's hard, as Neil Russell would say. You
know? I mean...
we were talking about him.
But he'll
take a hit to make a... he'll take a hit to make a play. He'll make that really simple 10-foot pass just to get us out of our zone. He'll chip it off the wall, whatever he needs to do. But in terms of my man of the weekend, it's hard to look past Cooper. We've talked about him a few times now. I thought the fight made him grow into a giant. And on Sunday night, I was so impressed with what he did with the extra man on Sunday night, the way he backed in there and got us. He got a goal himself, and he got at least two goals with the extra man from blocking the Storm goalie. So there were so many outstanding performances from the weekend, but I think Mark Cooper will get my MVP.
Saturday night, he was that far away from a Gordie Howe.
How many times did we ring the post in the bar, by the way?
I think it was six. Was it five?
Nine times on Sunday.
Unbelievable. But yeah, the other thing, sorry, talking about that checklist, the other thing, the glaring omission is power play goals and three in the single game on Sunday, with Cooper being involved in one of them, scoring one of them as well, and his work on the power play in general. But what about yourself, El Presidente?
I was going to go for either Cooper or Lake, so I'll go for Lake because people went for Cooper. I thought all the way through the weekend, every time Laker got the puck, you know, I thought he was playing well. He was creating space. He was forechecking hard. He was working the play well. I was every time I was watching him. Ben Lake had the puck. I was really, really impressed with him. And what's been said so far covers a lot of that. And I do agree. I thought Gary was superb. I thought, you know, Cooper, like I say, that far away from a Gordie Howe on Saturday, and I was willing him on to hit the back of the net. And you know, I think, like I say, I think he rung the pipes. But it's all around front to back. I thought it was a great weekend.
And don't forget Hookie. Hookie had a couple of goals.
Yeah,
Hookie was sensational. Hookie was awesome. I think
David Gubin had 6 points at the weekend. You know, so I think it's 3-3 at the weekend. One goal and two assists on Saturday, and 2-1 on Sunday.
Two and one on Sunday.
One and two on Sunday.
Yeah, and yeah, you're right. 6 points.
Yeah,
don't read anything into the game sheets, boys.
probably
not all that accurate.
Soon enough.
Yeah, we've talked about this, but every one of those points was deserved by him. You know, I know you're doing your stats, but I keep an eye on that stuff as well. And you know, the referees, there's four of them, four officials on the ice. They need to be better when getting the points, because guys are losing out on points and potentially losing out on money for a contract for next year.
There's one that we were talking about, says the JJ Pickenitt goal. So Rip hits him at center ice.
Neutral zone as well. I can give you a neutral zone.
Neutral zone center ice. And I think it's Kieran Long who's ambling back for a line change and sort of, or it might be Bush actually, and he knocks it back to Rayner in the defensive zone, who headmans a pass. JJ Pickenitt sees the opportunity and bolts. As JJ Pickenitt gets the puck about the blue line, Scott Conway jumps off the bench, skates in, gets an assist. It's outstanding. So that's the kind of thing we're talking about. You know, the game sheets are a wee bit where they're supposed to be checked by Instat and updated during the week. So we'll see if those changes are made. We do send the changes in, but it's something that I need to have a sportive chat with somebody about.
Hookie had two goals on Sunday and a man of the match, by the way. So that's a very fair shout. Lewis,
there were so many. There was honestly, you could go through the roster there and make a case for a dozen players. Isn't it?
Yeah, it is great. It's great, especially coming into this forthcoming weekend against the Dundee Stars.
Let's go. Listen, we haven't mentioned Jackson Whistle. Jackson played really well. You know, I mean, we look at. I mean, Dave, you were talking about Besko giving up that first goal on Saturday. I looked at it a couple of times, and it's because you don't get to see the replays from a different angle, like the GoPros and the in the net and the one behind the net before we watch the highlights. But I said to Besko when he came out of the coach's room on Saturday night, and I was just going home, I said, what happened with that first goal? Was it deflected? He said, nope, that's on me. He said, I need to be better. He says, I just misjudged the speed of it. I thought I was going to paddle it away. Yeah. And I just flicked up a stick and up into a net. So, you know, it's but Jackson kept us in the game in the first period on Sunday.
Yeah.
He played really, really well. Yeah, I think shots on goal were 11-10 on Sunday at the first period. They had a couple of good chances, a couple of power play opportunities. And he came up with a number of really good saves. And that's what you need your goalie to do. So, you know, I think you're right, Paddy. He'll be disappointed conceding the second goal later on with the bad mistake from not being called in the corner. But again, I thought Jackson did very, very well on Sunday.
You have to tip your cap to the progress as well, whilst not playing just as many minutes as Besko. He obviously had some issues with his glove early season, whether he was just getting the rust off again or whatever else, but he seems to have ironed those out. I think his glove was super on Sunday.
The highlights from the game are available from our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. The commentators were Mr. Kitchen and Mr. Dixon, who credited to you boys. Honestly, I know we said it and we had a chat on WhatsApp. I'll give you the credit where it's due. The two of you work fantastically together. I think Dicko's excellent at what he does, as are you, says, and more of the same. Like, I'd like to see Dicko on the ice. I'd like to see Dicko part of the team. Yeah. But if he can't do that, then I want to see him in the commentary box next to you.
I really enjoy doing the games with Dicko, but it's not that he doesn't like doing it. He doesn't rate himself doing it, and I tried to say to him on numerous occasions, Dicko, you're really good. Like,
yeah.
You know, and I've said that to him, Paddy. And to be honest with you, I don't think I'm talking out of line. See, if the likes of Paul Leary wasn't available for Premier Sports, I wouldn't be disappointed listening to Dicko with Murph. I honestly think he's that good, and he's as much as Dicko loves a bit of a laugh and a joke and you know, always takes the piss out of people. He's really knowledgeable about hockey, and he's been around the team a long time.
His insight and assessment of the stuff that's going on to the ice is second to none. I really, really enjoy it. The only other person that I enjoy as much standing next to you is Mr. Majemsey when he does it. You know,
love that the two
you work well. But likewise, you know, but obviously Mr. Majemsey can't do it remotely. But so Dicko, I think, is, and Davey, I'm sure you back me up on this because you know you and I, given where we are, watch it on screen more often than not. But it's Dicko's excellent.
I love listening to Dicko, and he talked about one of the goals. It might have been the goal that Cooper scored, talking about getting the goalie's toe caps and stuff. And he's insightful because he's a player. He sees things that I don't see. I just repeat what I've just seen and give a wee bit of colour into what I've just seen. I don't have the analysis that Dicko has. I absolutely love. I'm going to send him a text here to tell him. I love how he does it with says, and I tell them when they're doing it, and I try to pump his tires the other night. Says, tell Dicko he's brilliant tonight. He goes, you'll not believe me.
I showed him the phone. He's gone, what a crap.
it's why he's Dicko though, right? Like, it's literally why we love him. He's so,
and that's the other thing about it as well, Joel. He's really quick. I mean, with ways, he's really, really quick. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there was a moment the other night where I'd said, it's on the highlights as well. I'd said about, I think it was Darcy coming off the ice, and I said about Adam's obviously recognised Darcy's goal, or he's just given a tap in the helmet. And he just turned around and went, like, you know, he just threw his hands up. He went, and it didn't register me until after he pointed it out to me. You know, it was quite funny.
I was laughing. Right, let's batter on here, gents. Says you got to get back down to training there earlier today. You chatted with Adam Keefe, Kieran Long, but first up, the man with two goals on Saturday is Darcy Murphy.
4-point weekend, Darcy. Obviously, coming out against the Manchester Storm, you were feeling it yourself. You're feeling a bit of pressure. We had a chat a couple of weeks ago, and obviously,
picking up that injury didn't help your with regards to the way the season was going, but you must have been relieved to get those two goals. It certainly showed on your face after your first one.
Yeah, definitely. Always feels good, especially getting the monkey off your back. But I think all weekend long, we just kept putting pucks on net. And usually, if you can do that, get traffic in front, good things are going to happen.
Emma Conway and Pickamich, since just looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, they're both great players. So for me, it's just about finding the open ice and getting into spots where they can get the puck to me. And they're both great enough players that if you're playing on the other end, it's usually going to be a good result.
You're a champ for the hat trick. You're really champ for the hat trick.
I wouldn't mind it. It'd be all right.
And then Sunday again, you had a couple of opportunities on Sunday. Their goaltender, back to Shawa or whatever it is, he came up with some big saves, and you can see that he's been there, and he's been at the top end of the goalie side of things for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we put, I think, 7-6 up that night, but I think it could have been a lot more because he really didn't play quite well. But we just kept putting pucks on net, and I think eventually if you do that, you're going to start getting some goals, and we're lucky enough to have 13 this weekend.
Fourth-point weekend, as I say, heading into Cardiff this weekend. Always a tough place to go to, but we've had a lot of success there over the last couple of years. Must be looking forward to that trip now. You're feeling more confident.
Four points is great, but now it's over and done with. Got to look ahead and focus on Cardiff. Hopefully get a good weekend and be ready for them.
Good man. Thanks, Darcy.
Cheers, Kitchy.
What do you want? I want to talk me through your goal to begin.
Oh, okay.
We've already started it.
Oh, have we?
Yeah. 4 points against the Manchester Storm. Your old team, obviously. Two solid performances.
Yeah, it was. The boys came out pretty hard. We knew what we wanted to do. We said that we owed them one fair lose there in Manchester. Yes, it was a solid all-round performance. I don't think we gave them a lot, and we took a lot from them.
Just the way your head's sitting there, it looks perfect for that wee frame shot. I'll have to send you a screenshot of that. Obviously, you get on the score sheet with your wee line at the hooky. 3 goals at the weekend, playing with Jordan Boucher most of the weekend. You must have been pleased.
Yeah, it's good. For people that don't know, you know, like, we're big into our Dijon right now. We're loving it. It's helping us out on the ice too. It's good for me and Hooky to get a couple of goals over the weekend and give us some more confidence going into next weekend.
Cardiff, always a tough place to go to. We played really, really well the last game. Looking to try and improve on that and come away with 2 points.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think we don't really want to change too much to what we did last time in Cardiff. I think we were a better team. Obviously, we need to be a little bit more clinical in front when we get there. But after last weekend, I think we're looking good going into this weekend.
Talk us through your haircutting career. How's it starting out? You seem to be enjoying it. And where about you working the fans go to get the haircut?
Yeah, no, I'm loving it. I've actually wanted to do it for like maybe the last 3 years, but finally was able to get onto a course. And just anywhere really. I'm doing quite a few cuts at home, at people's homes, obviously COVID safe, wearing a mask, gloves and whatnot. Just drop me a DM.
We'll make sure we pass that on. Yeah. Thank you very much, Kieran Long.
Not a problem there.
Lovely, thanks very much.
Dead on.
Adam, 4-point weekend, first doubleheader at home this season. A lot of positives to take out of that weekend. And firstly, starting out with scoring from all three lines, four lines.
Yeah, I think throughout the game on Saturday, we started to see that obviously Jordan Boucher was playing well with Kieran Long and Lewis Hook, so we made that change going into Sunday. But I thought the lines, there was a real good balance throughout the whole weekend. So it was good.
Manchester Storm, you owed them one from a couple of weeks ago when you went into their pokey knee hole and come out with a 3-0 loss, and obviously scoring 13 goals this weekend has put you in good stead, hopefully, leading into this weekend against Cardiff and Dundee.
Yeah, well, it certainly won't hurt the conference going into the following weekend. But, I think guys were just more or less just excited to be home for a doubleheader, the first one of the year. So I think we saw a little bit of that as well. But not just offensively, I thought defensively we were great all weekend. And obviously with both goalies getting in, and it was just a great weekend from start to finish. And now we need to follow it up.
little bit of toughness from the weekend as well, which is always good to see. You guys stepping up for teammates and sticking up for themselves.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I think that, you know, we are a team that we've identified that the team toughness needs to be our motto here going forward, and guys sticking up for each other and just staying together. You know, when times get tough, you need to stick together out there. So it's nice to see, and it also means guys are competitive. You know, they're out there, they're competing and want to win. So I think that it was a great, like I said, for the whole weekend, it was a great team performance.
Cardiff on Saturday, and then you face Dundee for the first time, whatever time it is this season, on Sunday again. So a tough travel weekend, obviously an early start on Saturday and an early start on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, you're essentially traveling for both games, home game as well. So now, I mean, that being said, it's not our first time doing it. So, you know, we should be well aware of the type of day that we have on Sunday to come back and play against Dundee at home. But our full focus goes, you know, the Cardiff game and just preparing for that this week. You know, yes, there's travel there, but every team travels to an away game, so there's no difference for us.
Any injury worries from picking up at the weekend, or are you ready to go for the weekend?
No, I think they came out of the weekend unscathed, so we'll see how as this week goes, but hopeful for a full lineup.
Big thanks to Kiefer, Longer, and Murph. News time.
Nice.
Do need some sort of music.
Yeah, one of those like Morse code beeps. That would be nice, Paddy, if you can get on that, please. Quick look at the scores, boys. First of all, just I'm really sorry to report that there were no Challenge Cup group games this week. I know that that's something that you're not going to take too well, but there were no Challenge Cup group games. However, all eyes are on this Saturday as the Steelers and Panthers go at it one more time in a dead rubber spectacular. But in the Premier Sports Elite League, Manchester opened their weekend at home with a 5-2 win over the Coventry Blaze on Friday night. That marked the debut of Jason Bokaccia, who was then rested on Saturday in Belfast and played Sunday. Elsewhere, Cardiff Devils left Dundee with a 6-4 victory, game one of their Scottish triple that then became a double thanks to Glasgow constantly shuffling their calendar. And on Saturday, Dundee's woes were compounded by a 7-1 thrashing at the hands of the Guildford Flames at the Spectrum. The Flames remain second in the league, just a point behind the Sheffield Steelers, and are off to a great start this season by all accounts. And meanwhile, the Stars have just one regulation win and 11 games played. Before we come on to record tonight, the Flames were 2-1 up on the Glasgow Clan, so they could go top tonight with that win over the Steelers, and the Steelers will obviously then have their game in hand. The only other league game on Saturday night was here in Belfast, where your Giants mauled the Storm 7-2, as we've just talked about. And on Sunday, the Glasgow Clan went to Nottingham. This was a surprising one, recorded their first league win in only their second league game of the season, a tight encounter with the Panthers. They ended 3-2 to the visitors. And Cardiff made it a four-point weekend in Scotland with a 4-2 win over the Fife Flyers in Kirkcaldy, lifting them to third in the standings. And elsewhere, your Belfast Giants did the same at the SSE Arena. And that 6-2 victory over the Storm leaves them a point behind Cardiff in fourth with a game in hand. On to league news. A couple of things this week. We unfortunately start the news tonight. Some more bad news, boys. I'm really sorry to report that the Sheffield Steelers did not make it out of their Continental Cup group in Aalborg.
The Sheffield Steelers can't handle it.
Which, for me anyway, you hate to see. You know, the months, the planning, the anticipation. I know that the TV rights were literally bought minutes in advance of the first game.
How much were they? How much were they? What a weekend it was.
It was a red letter week on the internet this week. The Sheffield Steelers just keep on giving. To be fair to the Steelers, they were down on bodies for the weekend and were playing effectively a line down on everyone else in the group. They opened their weekend with a 3-1 defeat at the hands of the hosts, the Aalborg Pirates, pulled one back with a 3-2 win over Riga on Saturday, and then crashed out with a 4-0 defeat against our old friends, HK Gomel, on Sunday. I can't remember, were defeated 5-0 by your Belfast Giants at the SSE in the Continental Cup in 2019. Patrick, if you're ready, if you're happy enough, let's talk Dops. Do you have a button for that? Or he does as well.
Hold on, before we go on to Dops, just very briefly, are we really just going to quickly just gloss over the fact the Sheffield Steelers tried to sell a webcast for £30 that ended up being free through another means? Are we just going to pass that they decided they were going to put a big thing that they said, oh, 30 quid to watch all of our games in the Continental Cup. Then somebody found out that the actual Alberg was showing them for free and they went, oh, well, okay, well, maybe you can have them for free, but if you want to give us 30 quid anyway. What's that about?
It's not only that, but it's the contempt with which they treat their fans on social media whilst consistently sticking the hand out looking for more money from them. Not to use the marketing term, but their corporate tone, their corporate voice, and I think we all know who that is. It's just absolutely stinking.
I'm looking at the little grin on Mr. McGimsey's face. Come on, David, yeah. You want
to
say
give it to him? Go ahead.
I just didn't. It was the almost blackmail after they got called out on it of give us 30 quid and we'll give whatever we've got left to like the children's hospital rather than do it for free and just give some money to charity people because and gift aid as you mentioned, Paddy, but like it's just it was completely contemptuous and it was funny at the same time because as the tweet I put out, you know, you're charging your family and the Steelers make this thing about family, you know, you're literally charging your family something that they could get for free. And when you got found out, you went to the people that were giving it free and said, we'll give you some money so we can charge our family. It was just wild. Absolutely wild take, as Joel would say. Or what would you say, Joel?
Yeah, it's close enough. It's close enough.
One of the most ridiculous parts of the weekend and the fact that they tried to get away with it so blatantly was, so brazenly, sorry, was very entertaining. Anyway, back to Dops.
Dops.
Need to find a video for this. It's always just us dancing.
I don't mind it. Dops.
I think we'll probably have to all sync it together. When it comes on next week, we've got to all dance.
I'm in. Say no more.
Do the set up one next week.
You give me the stage, mate, I'll dance. Just one Dops decision to report on this week. On Friday night in Altrincham, Blaze defenseman Nathaniel Halbert was assessed a penalty for cross-checking on Manchester Storm forward Adam Brady. This was subsequently assessed as boarding by Dops, with Halbert receiving a 2-game suspension as a repeat offender. He was suspended for boarding earlier this month. Dops says that while the cross-check isn't delivered with exceptional force, it's also not the case where a player uses his stick or puts his hands on the back of an opponent to guide, direct, or engage the puck carrier. It's delivered at an extremely dangerous distance from the boards, delivered in a manner that sends Brady directly into the boards and not at an angle that might minimize the danger on the play. So Nathaniel Halbert will miss Saturday's home opener for the Glasgow Clan in Brayhead and Sunday's visit of the Cardiff Devils to the Sky Dome as long as they have their ice down. This one, to me, boys, it's pretty cut and dry. You know, the cross-check to the back comes at that distance from the boards that makes you wince whenever you see it happen in real life, and players have done in the past real damage with that kind of crash into the boards.
I can see his number from here. So he can see his number going into it. He knows how far he is from the boards. He puts his hands on his back. Open and shut case for me.
Yeah, that's a bad hit. That is a really bad hit. I mean, you just even when you watch, like, Adam Brady?
Yeah, Adam Brady. You
know, Brady's absolutely zero way to protect himself there because he's literally just fed the puck up a wall. Nathaniel Halbert, whatever his surname is. But
I'm just going to Halbert.
That's a bad hit. What do you get, 2 games?
2 games. He was suspended for boarding earlier in the month.
That's well-deserved. There's no place in that in our sport for that at all. Like, that's just bad crack.
Divi?
Yeah, look, he can see the numbers the whole time. It's not like he's, I think they even say that in the Dops report, you know, there's at no point where he's kind of, you have these hits that are borderline now where players put themselves into that last second vulnerable position. He can see the numbers from yards away. Does he need to make, we talk about the necessity of making hits sometimes in hockey. If he doesn't make any kind of hit, is that player going to then turn and go back in front of the net? If he is, then just ride him into the wall, so to speak. Just push him up gently into the wall to stop him, to pin him or whatever. But you can't make that cross-check. It's just a dangerous play. I think he's fortunate enough to only get one game, if you like, one game plus one game because of the previous. It's a naughty, naughty little hit.
Yeah, fairly unanimous, boys. that's all from Dubs this weekend so far. There's been nothing since that judgment, which came pretty quickly because of the repeat defender status. Elsewhere in the league, the Sky Dome's ice plant issues continued into this weekend. We had said that we were hopeful. They were promoing that game against the Panthers during the week, but it was postponed. It was due to take place on Saturday. Planet Ice said that while there's positive news, the plant has been fixed due to the complete loss of the ice pad last Sunday. Despite working on it 24/7, there just isn't quite enough time to clear the pad of water, get it ready to be able to start rebuilding the ice sheet and be able to build it up to the point where they can be sure it can withstand the demands of an elite league game. And to tie that into your Premier Sports game of the week, the game of the week this week is the Cardiff Devils visit to Coventry this Sunday at 6 o'clock. So yep, fingers crossed for Murph, for Coach Yeady and for Caitlin that the ice is down and everything's back to normal. And that's your news, Patrick Smith.
Thank you very much, Mr. Neil. Now, there's no fan agenda this week. Boys aren't available, so we're just going to put it out, ask the panel, ask for a few questions. We actually end up with quite a few, so we're not going to get through everybody, so apologise for that. Davey will come back on Twitter and answer them after the show as the standard line that we peddle at this point. Let's start. Andy Key, yeah. How did Kitchy? Sorry?
I'll do that the night before I go to sleep.
Andy Key asked, how did Kitchy get the commentary role in Jan's TV?
So now who I am? I sort of think I just fell into it, to be honest. I remember doing it back when it was Ronan who was there back in...
Yeah, you do. I remember that.
With Wayne, I did a couple of games with Wayne back in probably 2007, 2008 season.
Old Wayne.
Wayne Budgies Hardman.
Still alive, just want to point that out.
I was talking to Wayne's wife there about 2 weeks ago, Louise, and I sent him our regards, and he's doing okay, as well as he can be doing. Obviously had the stroke and stuff there a wee while ago, so he's still hanging in there, and great man. I used to love he did it with Gary Gillespie back in the day, and when they used to do the handouts and stuff, some of the things he came off with, I don't even repeat, but it was brilliant.
I said, just started back 2007, 2008, and then again, Ronan asked me to kind of get involved a wee bit later on as well. But yeah, it's been a long time now.
Yes, no better man for it. Alex McLaughlin. You get the option next year between the two, which are you picking up for the chance to compete in the County Cup or the CHL, Mr. McGemsey?
It's funny. I haven't changed my mind on this. I think we're much more competitive and have a bigger opportunity, obviously, to win. And that's what I want to do. I want to hang banners and I want to see us lift silverware. And to get the opportunity to lift that big sandwich tray would be great. Did our CHL journey change my mind ever so slightly, because you get to pit yourselves, you're kidding yourself sometimes, you'll maybe get through a group or stage or whatever and get into a knockout, which would be fantastic. Does it help with recruitment, CHL? The carrot dangle that the better competition, you can bring in a higher caliber of players. I just don't know, because I still think the Continental Cup is where we sit in terms of wanting to be successful in winning silverware, but I was slightly turned by the CHL experience. Those Champions League nights were something special. That night against Liberets will be something that lives. But that night against Liberets will not eclipse the night against Arland for me, where we were Dustin Johnner point away from being European champions in a lower competition, albeit. But yeah, I want to win that Continental Cup badly.
It's funny, I take a similar approach to that, but I really enjoyed the trip I had out to Augsburg with the CHL. But then did I enjoy more, Augsburg or Landshut? Probably Landshut, just for the whole experience. The fact that it was what I remember of it, but because it was the 3 days and it was spread out, the competition on the ice was more intense in Augsburg, and that was great. And the atmosphere of a DEL arena, I know only too well, and I love it. But the weekend as a whole, the package weekend of a whole away from home, I hold my hands up. The fact that we played, when we last played the County Cup, that we played all of it at the SSE Arena, disappointed me. You know what I mean? I didn't want, it gave us a better chance, and I understand why we had it. It was fantastic that we did. And ultimately, us doing it and doing so well allowed Cardiff to be in the CHL, and they're very welcome to that. But it's But what you want from those European experiences is going into Europe and is going to Augsburg. It's going to, you know, Anger. It's going to, you know, Landshut. It's going to Liberec. And that's, or going, or you're packing your bag and going all the way to Sweden and Luleå and all that sort of stuff. That's what you want. So, you know, if you can get that from the Conti Cup, absolutely. Sis?
To be honest, I'm could be quite happy with either European competition because that means you've won something.
Yeah.
So, like, again, I take views on both sides of things. Unfortunately, I didn't get the away CHL game last year. You know, I've been to a couple of European trips and they've been absolutely brilliant. So, I'd be happy going to either. However, the Continental Cup, we have a chance of winning the Continental Cup. You know, I know there's teams in the CHL don't take it overly seriously. And, you know, okay, you might get a win or two as in the group stages. But, you know, overall, I think that the chances of holding another night like Arnhem and Belfast again, which was just absolutely insane. You know, that took me about 3 or 4 days to look for my voice in the arena after that. So, it was something that I'll never forget. It was just absolutely insane. So, I know I'd love to have another go of doing that and maybe even holding another European tournament at the SSA Arena. And maybe, you know, if we win at this time, it'll be even better.
Joe?
Yeah, like sage points from the boys. I would just add that anyone who was in Landshut in 2012, anyone who experienced that sort of weekend-long festival atmosphere, the fact that everyone was in the same sort of hub for that extended period of time, it's still, to me, one of the greatest kind of memories that I carry as a Giants fan. And it's also one of the biggest badges of honour that I have for our fan base, that anyone who was in that after party and the last night in the courtyard outside the arena, not a single photo, not a single video, not a single story has ever made its way onto the internet. And that's why I love this club. It's unforgettable, but yeah, look, it's if you're playing in Europe, you've won something. But for me, the Continental Cup is the one that I want to book my flights and go to.
It's an age-old question, Alex. Thanks for that. Steve McBlain, what's your favourite place to visit from the other 9 teams in the league and why, Joel?
Nottingham, I'd say, is probably the best for a night out if you're into taking in the local hospitality. But in terms of the actual game itself, I love going to Fife. Fife has the closest thing to me to a football atmosphere and the type of atmosphere that I grew up kind of around. Really love a trip to Kirkcaldy. It's just that once you go out the doors of the arena, there's not an awful lot to do in Fife. So I'd probably say Nottingham.
David?
Because of my current geography, I get to cheat a wee bit. I love getting on a plane and flying to Belfast, the best nice. Arena in the league.
Nice.
And coming home and hanging out with Sez and hanging out with the boys and having an absolute blast. But away games, obviously, being at Cardiff an awful lot, that new ice arena Wales is a good place to watch hockey, to be fair, and always very well looked after by the hospitality. And hopefully they'll do the same this weekend.
Get it in early.
Get it in early.
Thanks, Katrina. Katrina. Yeah. She's been a holiday, mate. You best get
Katrina
on that.
And the waves. Everybody wave. Katrina and the waves. Bad jokes, Joel. Sorry.
Sorry, mate.
Mr. Kitchen.
Cardiff. Love a good night out in Cardiff. I've been lucky enough to win a couple of championships there and don't remember waking up the next morning. So as far as I'm concerned, it's all good. It's been too long since won a championship in Nottingham. I'd love to remedy that this year. And then you can ask me at the start of May and it might change my story. But Cardiff at the moment.
We were only too close not that long ago, mate. Not that long ago. Mm-hmm. From my point of view, I'm going to cheat a little bit. Somewhere I'm actually going to weekend after next, which is somewhere I miss going to watch hockey, and that's Edinburgh. I absolutely loved going to Edinburgh. Davey and his Davey used to know how to bring beers into the rink.
Great story.
I was this close to Murrayfield today.
Were you?
Just this afternoon. Right outside the arena.
I know they're having a few problems at the minute and with the Murrayfield Racers and stuff like that, but I used to love those trips up. And the doubleheader, like Fife, I wholly agree with you. That 2004, it was December 2004 when we went up to play Edinburgh one night, Fife the next, or Fife one night and Edinburgh the next.
Fife gumped us, didn't it?
They won by a 6-5 goal.
6-5 or something.
Came on that bus trip, Paddy. You were in Belfast and came on that bus trip, no?
No, that was the one. No, I went to the Clan. It was the Clan game. Because Sizz did a pub quiz on the bus, and I was doing it with in my team. I had Andre Owens, and we were beaten by Gary. We get beaten by Gary Jackson and Claire Locke, who cheated.
It's a joke. He cheated as well. Because we're all cheating for.
I did not cheat. I'm not having this. I did not cheat at the pub quiz. I knew those answers. However, for Gary Jackson to pull out Paxton Schulte's penalty minutes off the top of his head, no, not having that.
In all fairness, he has some head on him.
Davey, if you did it, I'd be fine with that. I've no issue.
975, maybe.
But the fact is, if Gary Jackson did it, not having it. This is a guy who one of the questions was, and I remember it to the day I die. One of the questions that Sizz put in that pub quiz was, what countries are on the Iberian Peninsula? Gary Jackson said Russia. He lived in Spain. So you're telling me he knows Paxton Schulte's penalty minutes on the top of his head? Anyway, coming back to the actual point. Yeah, I used to love the trips to Edinburgh, and I think and Fife as well. I miss the trips to Newcastle. You know, I don't miss the trips to Hull. But
so
yeah,
versatile though.
979, did we?
979. It was 4-2. He got a double minor for high stick in his last game. It was never a call. It would have been 975.
Yeah, but yes, I'm probably going to go with Fife because I just enjoy those trips up to Scotland and. Like I say, I'm up in that weekend. I'm up the weekend after. So keep us to yourselves, boys. I'm up the weekend after next visiting family. Right? We play Fife and Dundee, and I'm in Edinburgh.
It's almost like you planned it.
You sure it's not Fife and Glasgow?
Oh no, you're right. You're right. Sorry, it's Fife. You're right. It's Fife on Saturday, Glasgow on Sunday.
Yeah. I might be there as well. Keep up to yourselves.
Good thing nobody listens to this.
Good job. My wife doesn't listen to this. It's just why are we going this way back home? What do you mean? Why are we on the M8? Surely we should be going home.
This is
Glasgow. Oh, how did we get here? Anyway, one more question. Let's go. Tail Trooper, do you guys have a favorite season game or games? Says.
It's hard to see past the Arlong game at the arena. That's, you know, Davey and I have chatted about it. We were, you know, lucky enough to commentate that night. And it's a game that I just don't think I'll ever forget. You know, Jimbo hit the post and, you know, an OT, and we were really unlucky not to, to get the win, unfortunately. And obviously, you know, the whole weekend, Besko was excellent. You know, there's so many good performances all that weekend, and even the semi-final when we had Katowice there again, and we had the Belarusian team and stuff as well. And I thought that, you know, to be honest, I didn't think we'd get any better than that support and that atmosphere that the Katowice fans brought to the arena. And then all of a sudden, you get it back, and okay, there's a lot of Katowice fans come back, but for the Giants noise, I think there was probably 2 Ardan fans in the crowd. But, you know, to have that atmosphere at the arena and the noise that generated for that Dustin Johnner goal was just something that sometimes you walk in the arena, you just look around and you sort of still hear it, when you're there. And I was sitting on the bench today. I had a phone call this afternoon just as I was walking out of the arena, and I was sitting on the team bench today, and I just sat there for about 5 or 10 minutes, just looking around. I'm lucky enough where I can do that, and nothing else was happening. I was absolutely knackered. I think I just sat there because I was knackered. And you just look around and think about how many guys that have played, been lucky enough to play for the Giants and sit on that bench and watch the game from the bench. And it's one of the things that I'd love to do. I'd love to be able to sit on the bench and watch a game from, you know, while I was taking, you know, opening the door at the other end there at the letting, you know, best score Dicko or West take a night off and open the door at the other end. I think it's looking at a game from a different perspective as well, and listening to the coaches and the players and the chirping and you know, I'm Scott Conway at the minute, everybody's talking about him. He just chirps everyone. He was chirping Stefan Hogarth about his haircut at the weekend.
Rightly so.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and he was going on at Springer, and he was going on at everybody. He says he just never stops. He says he's always got something to say to absolutely everyone. So, but yeah, to get back to the point, Arlan game was just insane.
Davey?
That's a game, tough one.
Game, games, but, or season?
Because we've obviously had 802 wins across the 20 years, and that's a lot of memories. And
get away back into the history books there, Majimsy. Come on.
If you want, probably a game for me. First time we won away in Coventry. I was lucky to be there. I was in Toronto in that January, and I woke up and got the paper, Toronto Sun, and the front headline, or not the headline, like a header piece on the Toronto Sun was about Theo Fleury going buck daft in Coventry. He'd got through out of the game, fans, he'd gotten involved with the fans and stuff. We still had never won a game in Coventry at that stage, 2005, 2006, something like that. And I phoned Lynn McManus from Toronto, because that was before WhatsApp and all, says, Lynn, find out the next time we are playing in Coventry, book me, Dr. Love, and Big Hitter a ticket, and we're going. And we went, and we won, and we went to Nottingham the next night and won as well, I think. So that was a really great away trip. A lot of your really, really good memories are away games, you know, but for me, the best I have felt after a game, Challenge Cup final in the Ice Bowl, whenever you've got like what it was 1,600 people absolutely crammed in, like that you're talking about the Ireland game, says it wasn't even a massive crowd that Sunday afternoon. No, it was maybe 4,500, something like that. Sounded like 10,000 in the arena. It was amazing when that Dustin Johnner, and even when his penalty shot goes in. I remember doing the commentary with you. I was really blessed to be able to help out that day. And I can remember the commentary going around in my head. I can still, not a game, people tweet it up and it gives me goosebumps. But one, the playoff final, Paddy, whenever we had our press passes and somebody went, it was Dr. Love, actually. Dr. Love, we've won. And he said, he's a press pass. What are you doing?
Get down there.
I'm going to get down and Killer give us winner's medals.
Medals.
You know?
That's awesome.
Knocking about, you know, right place at the right time, getting pictures of Stephen Murphy and Mo and all that there. But yeah, I think the Challenge Cup win, to win it in Dundonald after we'd to play those games, that would won the knockout cup there.
Burgoyne coast to coast.
Burgoyne coast to coast to win it. Past, of course, Stephen Murphy and Nets.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a really good memory because there's pictures you see afterwards. It's Bobby Robbins handing the cup to Jim Gillespie. It's one of those real goosebump moments for me because he looks at him. We know what Bobby Robbins is like as a man, as he's left and he's fought with his demons and he's found God and he's done all this stuff. He looks at Jim Gillespie like he's handing it to someone that's so, so important.
Yep.
And it's one of those, I love that picture. If you ever see a picture, put it up. I would say we'll tweet it out.
We'll tweet it out after.
We'll tweet out after the show. Sorry, Neil Russell. But, you know, probably that Challenge Cup win in Dundonald will live for me for a long, long time.
Julie?
Yeah, I'm going to probably steal the low-hanging fruit here. Giants league win 2011-12. All or nothing doubleheader against the Sheffield Steelers, 1-2, winner takes it all. My first league championship, and you never forget your first, boys. Watching that game, we didn't even need the Sunday to clinch it. We did it on the first night, and 5-1, David, yeah?
5-1, I think, yeah.
Absolutely shellacked them. It was the most thunderous I've probably ever heard, the SSE, next to the European experiences that we've just talked about. An absolutely stunning weekend. The heroics of a newly signed Adam Keefe, you know, blocking shots with his body, throwing his head, throwing his hand in front of everything to get that game over the line. The ripple of people singing champions in the last kind of 5-10 minutes as the game was out of sight. The fact that we had missed out on the league by just a point the season before, and obviously to see Jim Gillespie on the ice celebrating that. And to this day, as far as I'm aware, probably the only league title I've watched the Giants actually clinch in a game. Because the one after that, we were in Nottingham in a restaurant. And then the one after that, we were in Belfast in a hotel. So for me, that will always just be the one. And a special memory the next night, whenever Smalsey, I believe, was dispatched on the plane to go and get the trophy to get it back into the arena for that Sunday. We hoisted it that night. And during that game, Garth Roberts also got his name on the score sheet, which was another absolutely awesome memory. But you still had Wally playing back then. You had G. Robert scoring goals, and just an unforgettable weekend. That was probably the moment for me that everything sort of clicked, and I was like, "Yeah, this is probably how I'm gonna. This is gonna be a big part of my life from now on."
What about you, Paddy?
Thanks. If I'm gonna throw mine in, just like sitting here, just listening to what you boys are saying, and so many fantastic memories, and you know, the Arland game is going to sit so highly, and all that. Dig into the history books. The 0-3 playoff final, the 0-3 playoff semi final. Joel Lang against Ryan Back, an absolute clinic in goalkeeping that goes down to penalty shots. Kevin Real down the left hand side roofs it past Lang to put us through. It just sweat. I must have lost about a stone and a half of sweat. You know, I was only 22. I was a stone and a half of sweat and probably alcohol as well. coming out of me. And then it goes into the playoff final. And the game, you know, the game where Shane Johnson basically ended the London Knights, had a fantastic game. I remember Stevie Thornton taking a hit and just hit face down on the deck, having to be stretched off, and he comes back in the third period. Ran Kuwabara having an unbelievable game. He was a hell of a player. And it's, you know, and it's against a London Knights team where we've, you know, Kuwabara had that thing against Nate Leslie. You know, he broke his hand, hitting him around the back. You know, we had our history at the London Knights. That weekend, the London Knights, they eliminated Nottingham Panthers with a goal with 0.2 seconds on the clock. You know, it was just a phenomenal weekend. But that 0-3 playoff final, to me, was just the first time. Because when we won, did we win the league at home in 0-2? I think we were, did we?
No, we did. We not win it in Bracknell.
It was in Bracknell because it was Chad Allen scored and we won it in Bracknell. So I wasn't at that. So the 0-3 playoff final was the first time I was in anywhere where the Belfast Giants lifted the trophy at that game. So the elation stays with me to this day. Other notable, Theo Thurry's first game, flying home for that. With the excitement of that, and then just him exploding onto the scene within like a goal within about 60 seconds of hitting the ice, you know, scoring like a million points in that one game and beating the hell out of Freddie Adoria.
He had a Harry and a fight that night, right?
Freddie Adoria.
Four plus three in two fights.
Mad.
Crazy. Mad. Crazy. That was a crazy time. The 2010 game, the games were the 2010 playoff final. The games against Newcastle when I was living in Newcastle, I always had such great fun. And then we come into Davey didn't near took a door off the hinges once when Adam Cree
wasn't
went
let back
nets.
In. You're not allowed back in. I don't want to go back in.
Ultimately, over the last 21 years, the Belfast Giants have given us so many fantastic games. And one of the things he says is about seasons. What season? What season would I look back on? The season I'd look back on was Paul Eddy's championship winning season, 13, when we 14. Absolutely ruined the entire league. We've run roughshod over the league and condemned the Nottingham Panthers as the shortest ever league champions in the history of UK hockey.
Beautiful.
You know, we just won the league by just Christmas decorations all early down, and we're picking up the league title. You know, it was stunning season. But yes, thanks very much to Tail Trooper for that question. Thanks to everybody for the questions. We've had so many, we can't get through them all, but David's going to answer them after the after the podcast. No, he's not.
Might warm him up. He's sitting there with his arms folded, his hat on.
He's absolutely freezing. Look at him. Founder. Two games this weekend. Two games this weekend. Cardiff away. Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Vital Arena. You get that on Devils TV. And then we can't wait because the Dundee Stars are coming to the SSE Arena.
Let's go. It is, however, Kyle Haas's first game back from suspension.
And that's where I was going to go. Kyle Haas's
Oh, sorry,
first game.
Paddy.
That's it. Well, go ahead, Joel. Kyle Haas's first game back from suspension.
Yeah, look, I think we saw the benefit this past weekend of there being a right time and a wrong time to get in the mix physically like that, to drop the gloves and whatever else. You know, that commotion around the bench with the entire Manchester Storm team distracted by that, and we go on the breakaway and score. You know, the only thing for me at this stage in the season is hammering out 2 points, just being consistent, keep doing the things that we've been doing well. But, you know, if the situation arises, if we're a couple of goals up, whatever else, there's been a lot of chat about this. Some people say that Boucher has something to answer for. I personally believe Kyle Haas has something to answer for. So either way, I know there's going to
answer for.
There's yeah, the Bush has nothing to answer for. Either way, I know there's going to be fireworks. So joking aside, I'm actually looking forward to this game.
It's interesting that on the back of the podcast that we had last week and some of the chats we had about Haas, and a lot of people pointing out that Rumgay hit and you know, how Bush has something to answer for there. If you go back and look at that Rumgay hit, he's got absolutely nothing to answer for. Nothing wrong with that Rumgay hit. It's just an unfortunate injury that Rumgay takes on the hit. Says, I'll come to you. You know, obviously Cardiff on Saturday as well, Dundee on Sunday. Cardiff going to be an interesting prospect. And we said we've ticked a lot of boxes going in there.
Yeah, again, it's all about the... You're going in with a lot of confidence, and you know, you always last year a goaltender for a chance to win. I still believe we've got the best goaltender in the league in Besko. I still believe that we've got the best one egg backup, if you want to call him that, with regards to Jackson Whistle. You know, whoever goes in net at the weekend is going to be it's going to be absolutely imperative that they're on their top of their game. In Cardiff, you know, they've started to click a wee bit. I think they've picked up 5 or 6 wins on the trot. You know, they're a good team. We've talked about them before with regards to, you know, what they bring to the lineup. They've got physicality, they've got speed, they've got older people on the team as well. But the way I'm looking at it is, if we play the way we can play, we're going to give them a game, and that's all you can ask for. So, you know, I'm not worried about what's happening Sunday. It's all about Saturday now. It's all about getting ready for the weekend. The boys, as I say, they look good in training this morning. I know Adam's going to work them hard for the optional skate tomorrow and then Thursday, and obviously get ready for the weekend. So I'm hoping, I was looking at flights earlier on. I'm hoping to make it over at the weekend and then back here on Sunday again. So just depends on if I can get Ejaz sorted out. So if we can get her sorted, be all right.
The game's on Saturday, 7 p.m. at the Vial Arena. You get that on Devils TV with Ollie and Gareth. And Belfast Giants home game against the Dundee Stars Sunday at 4 p.m. at the SSE Arena. And you get that on Giants TV. But get down to the game, because I don't think you're going to get another chance to see the Dundee Stars. And it's well worth getting down to see them. on that, AOB, and I'm going to start, gents. I've been asked to just to give a bit of a shout for the Black Sunday deals that are coming from the Belfast Giants. 50% off tickets for
Black Sunday? December.
Yeah. Black Sunday, did I say? Black Friday? I don't know. Oh, Black Friday. Black Sunday? What's Black Sunday? Oh, no, that was the Challenge Cup game. Never talk about Black Sunday.
What's Black Saturday, Divi?
It's the last one in August.
All right, cool. Carry on.
Okay.
You'll not be talking about that, Paddy. Carry on.
I'm just going to skip past that. 50% off tickets for selected games in December. I don't think every game except for the game against Sheffield on the 18th, I think, is 50% reduced. And that deal's on until Monday. Season ticket holders can bring a friend for free on the game of the 28th of November. And there's 25% off Giants merchandise, £20 off pro players' jerseys, and then a whole load of other deals with Harry Curry, fresh by us, NI supplements. And then also for things like the Farmer's Bash, which I know Joel's really looking forward to. Get out to the Farmer's Bash at the SSE Arena. If you go on the Belfast Giants website and offer all the details of the Black Friday deals. Any other business, gents?
I have a couple of things, guys. First of all, I'm a wee bit disappointed the way we're missing the Friendship Four again this year. It would have been this weekend. It's one of those things where we've always looked forward to for the last 5 or 6. Well, obviously last year we missed because of COVID, but it would have been this weekend. And I was speaking to the boss this morning, speaking to Robert Fitzpatrick this morning. There's news coming soon, and you know, with regards to next year. So it's something that as soon as I heard this morning what's happened, it's absolutely brilliant. So it's you know, the for anybody that, I know we get people listening to our podcast, they aren't necessarily Belfast Giants fan, but see if you get a chance to come over and watch the NCAA for the Friendship Four when it happens again. Don't miss it. It's absolutely brilliant. It's top quality hockey, and something that I genuinely am. I'm a wee bit disappointed we're not happening this year again.
I agree. It's a hell of a weekend.
Yeah, and the second thing I want to mention was our thoughts go out to Toby Craig and his partner Wendy. I may have known Toby a long, long time. He's you know, he's been giving me penalties for a long, long time. But unfortunately, his partner Wendy's son Cameron passed away last Thursday night in an accident, a traffic accident. And I'd sent him a message day before yesterday, I think it was, when I found out about it. And it's, you know, it's 19-year-old kid. He's no longer with us, so it's. I just want to send our thoughts to him. And I know that somebody set up a Just Giving page. It's on my Twitter. I'm assuming we can put it out from AVFTV as well. Absolutely. If you can donate, by all means, and please do, because, you know, unexpected funerals especially are very, very expensive. And if you can help in any way, shape or form, then please do. And our thoughts go out to Toby, his partner Wendy, and all the family circle.
Here, here.
And the last one is nothing to do with hockey. It's just something that's caught my attention again today, which I just think is absolutely incredible, is the Kevin Sinfield.
Amazing.
It's unbelievable what this guy
Sir Kevin doing. Sinfield.
Yeah. Isn't it Kevin Sinfield?
It is Kevin, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Our rugby union player, who Rob Burrows, league. Who's...
Rugby league, don't make that mistake.
Rugby league, right. Yeah, that's much... It's all chip balls, mate. I don't really pay that much attention to it. Just following the story today and yesterday, running 101 miles in 24 hours to raise money for motor neurons disease, I think it is, isn't
yes.
it?
Yeah, it's Rob Burrow, his ex-teammate, has been struck down by motor neuron disease.
It's absolutely incredible. And that friendship is just one of the strongest bonds I've ever come across in my entire life. And again, I was watching the news this morning when he was running over with Rob's son, who joined for the last length of the pitch as well. And it's just insane, absolutely insane what he's done. So I just thought it was worth noting.
He's done it. Yeah. It's incredible some of the stuff he's been doing for the motor neuron disease. And I know I think it's something like 7 marathons in 7 days as well in previous years. And, you know, you can see the friendship he has with Rob and how much it means to Rob and his family, that Kevin. And don't get me wrong, Kevin Sinfield is a huge, huge talent in rugby league and a very, very... very well loved player at Leeds, and this is phenomenal. I watch a bit of that myself. Says it's just an incredible feat for him to do, and you just more power to his elbow. And if you want to give money to more neuron disease and the work they do there, I've had a close family friend of ours pass away of it in years gone by. It's a horrible. It's just there's nothing you can do about it. It's just one of those debilitations that you can't fight, or they can't fight at the minute. And it's so we'll tweet something about that up. And well done, more power to his elbow, Kevin Sinfield. Anybody else?
Just a quick shout out, if possible, to Rainer. You may have seen on his socials today the relaunch of his website, personalbesthockey.com. Rainer doing a bit of training. It's lovely to actually have seen this. I'd be fairly friendly with Rainer, to be honest. He has lived fairly close by for the past couple of years, and I've been privileged enough to kind of hear the conversations about personal best as it has evolved, from him wanting to kind of branch out and do a bit of training, and how his own personal kind of mental well-being journey has factored into that. And it's just it's pretty inspiring. It's really lovely to have seen that kind of wee spark of an idea turn into what it has done, and there to be that resource for physical and mental well-being. So shout out Rainer. It's good stuff. Check out personalbesthockey.com for all details, and some sick merch as well, actually.
Yep, top stuff. Maybe get him on next week for a chat about it. We'll see if we get on. Davey, anything from you? You good to go? All good.
All good.
I think Davey just wants to get into the warmth. Right, we'll wrap it up there. Two games, as I said, Cardiff away, 7 p.m. on Saturday. Get it on Devils TV. And then the Dundee Stars are back at the SSE Arena again Sunday at 4 p.m. Get yourself down there, or if you can't, join Mr. Kitchen on Giants TV. Big thanks to Darcy Murphy, Kieran Long and Adam Keefe, and thanks to Sizz for popping down to train and sort that. And thanks to Belfast Giants TV for the highlights. You know, what we got of them, unfortunately, it seems that my computer was deciding to play up tonight, but thanks to Davey for cutting those together. Wherever you are, well, sorry, we're going to say you can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, anything else. Oh, www.kingdomofthegiants.com. Thank you to you three gentlemen. Good to see you as always.
Thanks, boys.
Go fire up that super, sir, Davey. And,
Three bars, mate.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge. Still you rise. Still you rise.